reading from the 4th chapter of Genesis and the 11th chapter of Hebrews. So if you have your Bibles, go right ahead and find both of those scriptures, Genesis chapter 4 and Hebrews chapter 11. Have your Bibles. I'm going to read from chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel, his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. And then in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I'm going to read just one verse, chapter 11, verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse number 4. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. I want to make a clarification to begin with this morning. The reading in Genesis is the story, it's a sad story indeed. Adam and Eve, the first parents in the history of mankind, lost a son. That's sad. Think about it, if you will, the highest order of God's creation, man. Highest order living upon this earth. Only lived a few years and trouble came. Adam and Eve sinned, and sin was brought into the human race. And then they had two sons, Cain and Abel. And the Bible says they both offered unto God sacrifices. So I want to make a clarification. Cain, no doubt, gave the best that he had of the fruit of the ground, maybe potatoes or whatever, come from the ground. Beans. Best he had. Abel brought a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, having killed a lamb, and offered the blood sacrifice unto the Lord. And God, the Bible says, accepted Abel's and rejected Cain's. And somebody said, why reject Cain's if he gave the best he had? Because he disobeyed God. How do you know he disobeyed God? How do you know that he knew? Because the Bible says that Abel moved by faith, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Abel knew what God required. Cain knew what God required. Cain decided, I'll give him the best that I have. But God says that's not good enough. Let me leave this with you today. The best we have will not get us to heaven. Without Jesus, we'll never make it. The best that you can do is not good enough. In order to make it to heaven, we need the Lord. And I'm grateful for every blessing of life. In reading that 11th chapter of Hebrews, the Son, the one that was slain, the Bible said, yet speaketh, he continues to speak. Even until today, after all these centuries, 6,000 years have come and gone, and yet the Bible says, Abel, yet speaketh. And so I want to preach about that this morning. What did a dead man's message say to the living? What does Abel say today? He yet speaketh, the Bible says. After all of these years, what does a dead man have to say to those of us who are living in 2013? So I have four thoughts I'd like to bring to our attention today. First of all, I'd like for us to see that man is a sinful creature. Let me stop right there to make it plain. Man was not created sinful. Man was created by God. Adam was created by God, and he had no sin in his life. And when Eve was deceived by Satan and gave to her husband, and he too received of the fruit of the forbidden fruit. How did he fail? And listen, if you will, when Adam fell, sin came into the human race. I want you to mark it down. From that day 6,000 years ago until today, only one man has lived without sin. His name is Jesus. All of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. So I'd like to begin the first thought today concerning Abel, yet speaking, man is a sinful creature. When Adam fell, sin came into the human race, and from that day on, everyone born of man and woman has the sin nature, and the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet there are so many today that say that sin, how that this man is a sinful creature. And that's not a very popular subject to preach about, man being sinful, living in sin, and all the rest. So we like to push it aside and not think about it, but we've come to the day that Jesus warned about. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't be deceived by any means. And we're living in a day when people are being deceived because false prophets are preaching false doctrines. Some are saying God created all, and therefore we are all God's children. I want to clarify something today. God created all. But if we're unsaved today, we're not children of God. The Bible says we're children of the devil. Man is a sinful creature. He needs to be saved. He needs to be born again. In order to see God, man is a sinful creature. And not only that, a lot of people say, not only is all mankind the family of God, we're all the children of God. That means, and we're all part of God's family. We're all headed for heaven because of this worldwide teaching that everything's going to get better and better and better and better. And we're going to have a great revival in the end time. And we're going to bring in the millennial reign. And then God's coming back. I want everyone to know the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible says man will get worse and worse. America is going far away from God. Unless we have revival to stir the hearts and lives of many, America's headed for the same destruction that Rome experienced. And so, I realize it's a popular message that we're all God's children and all created by God and we're all getting better and everything's going to be wonderful. But in the first and second chapters of Genesis, the creation story, Bible says God made it all, and listen to this, and God made it all good. Everything that God made, He made it good. In the third chapter, we see the disobedience of Adam and Eve, and all sin was brought into the human race. And there, all sin, fall into sin. And in the fourth chapter, sin entered, with it came evil and violence and murder. Listen, if you will. There's a lot of strife and heartache and turmoil in our world. I haven't lived very long. And yet in my lifetime, I've seen such changes that's taken place. I've seen the strife that is in the world and the headaches and the heartaches that are out there. There's terrorism today around the globe. And I know that bin Laden has been slain, and I know some of the leaders have been captured and slain. But I want you to know that there's evil still in the world. And we know that as we look around about, that there's trouble in the Middle East. Our Secretary of State, John Kerry, the new Secretary of State, has been overseas now, I think, 6 or 7 times in the last few weeks, and he's got things together, and so they're going to come together. The Israelis and the Palestinians are going to come together possibly this week in Washington, D.C., and try to get the peace plan working again. And I'm all for peace. And I thought about the problems. We've been to Iraq and to Afghanistan, and there's problems in Pakistan and in Syria and in Libya and in Egypt. Turmoil everywhere. Turmoil amongst the races. Yesterday and today, there are thousands upon thousands in America that are marching, that are having meetings having to do with the Trayvon Martin trial and the outcome. A lot of folks are talking about peace, and there's some others that are stirring up trouble. And there's racial relationships that are that are on the rocks in America because of sin, trouble everywhere, can be summed up, but the trouble can be summed up in that one word, S-I-N. S-I-N. That is a very unpopular subject in our day. It's a great problem. I'd like to just share this with you before I go on. Sin has been the problem of every generation from Adam until today. Everything that is wrong, everything that trouble and sorrow and heartache and suffering and warfare, all of it is because of sin. And there's coming a day when sin will no longer be. Brother, that's going to be something. We can't even imagine it. No sin forevermore in that great day. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Now, there's something that's been said that, and I am not one to try to split hairs about some things that some people believe, but there are some that use the statement this way, or make a statement this way, we are all sinners. And I've heard people say that probably all of my life, we're all sinners. I have a disagreement with that, but if you use that terminology, that's all right. As long as you understand that you're not a sinner. Now, if you are a sinner and you understand you're a sinner, you need to get saved. But we are not all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I'm not an English scholar. And it's been a long time since I was in an English class. But when the Bible says, for all have sinned, I know that have is past tense. We were sinners, but if you're saved, you're no longer a sinner. Can you say amen? We all have sinned. We all have come short of the glory of God. But we got saved. And when you get saved, you go out of the sinning business. It does not mean that you can't sin, but it means that you do not continue in sin. Some people have had the misunderstanding that if you get saved and serve God, love Him with all of your heart, you can't sin. You can't go back on God. That's why they teach there's no impossibility to backslide. Once saved, always saved. Let me tell you something. You can go back on God anytime you want to. I'm glad God took the want to out of my life. I love the Lord. I'm glad the way that He's blessed. I love living for the Lord. This is not a chore. So when people say we're all sinners, I want everyone to understand, if you're saved today, you're a child of the King. You're a son of the living God, a daughter of the living God. We went out of the sinning business. Thank God. One more statement there that I might share with you. The Bible says, sin shall not have dominion over you. I mentioned that the other Sunday. If you serve God with all your heart and questions in your heart and life, and He's living there, sin doesn't reign, Jesus does. Amen. Amen. Thank the Lord. This is the best life in the world. First of all, the Bible said about Abel, although he's been dead all of these years, he yet speaks to. What does he speak about? Sinfulness of mankind. Secondly, he talks about how short life is. And I'm going to try to keep it moving, not be lagging, but listen to this, if you will. I don't care how long you live on this earth, life is short. The oldest member of our church said this morning, Sister Gobi, way up in her 90s. But if you live to be 100, it seems like when you look back, it's just here and gone. James said it's like a vapor. It's here and it's gone. It's like a flower. It blooms and tomorrow's gone. Life is so short. Mike mentioned about the niece that passed away. Went to work that day. Came home from work, or came from work, stopped by the house of a friend and wanted to eat something. And when he went out to get something to eat, came back and she was gone. And I mean gone, gone. Life gone. So, don't wait it. Life is so short. I preached funerals of those that were almost 100, and I preached funerals of babies that never saw their first birthday. One 8 hours old, another 4 hours old. Life is uncertain. We're here and then we're gone.
thinking about my dad. Doesn't seem like so long he's been gone, but next June he'd be 110. That's hard to imagine. Time goes so quickly. And I know this is not a funeral sermon I'm trying to preach this morning, but I want you to know, time gets away in a hurry. That's why the Bible says, redeem the time. The psalmist said, number your days. Realize that the days are here and they're gone. And so, live wisely. Use your time for the glory of God. Use your efforts for the glory of God. Use your talents for the glory of God. You're going to look back one day and it's going to all be past. And what you've done for the Lord is going to be the what's counted. Time gets away. Did you ever say, I'm going to call them tomorrow. I'm going to write them a letter. I'm going to contact them tomorrow. And then tomorrow comes and you forget it. And another day and another day. And finally, I'm going to do a certain thing. And it gets away from you. Listen, do what you can while you can. There'll come a day when you can't. Do everything you can for the glory of God while you can. Not only giving of your money and your time and your talents, but live for God. I've tried to share this and I have some in mind even now. People can talk. Talk is easy. Living the life is what counts. The best example a mother or father can ever give to their children is to be saved and live the life. Every day, serving God, sin is what He speaks to us about. The first part, how that man is a sinful creature. And then there's the brevity of life, how short life is. We must realize we must do what we can while we can. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. This life that I'm living today is not going to end when I come to the grave. It's not going to end when they say the last words over me, the obituary or what have you. My life is going to live on. And the brevity of life, I know that we're here for a short time, but I leave it with you today that there's everlasting life for those who serve God. Brother, I'm never going to die. Said, Brother Jones, you just talked about death and now you're saying you're never going to die. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you'll never die. I believe in the Lord. I'm like D.L. Moody. He said, you're going to pick up the paper one of these days in Boston. You're going to read D.L. Moody died. I said, don't you believe it? He said, I'd be more alive at that time than I ever have been. I've got eternal life. Amen. Brother, that's enough to shout about. No man can pluck me out of the Father's hand. No one can take my salvation. No one can cause me to go back on God. No one can make me backslide. No one. Amen. Greater is He that's within me than he that's within the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Brother, God's on my side. I'm on God's side. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Yes. Sin, man is sinful and life is short. Thirdly, Abel lets us to know that salvation is through faith and faith only. It says in that 11th chapter, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. Faith in the Lord. As a young man, he did not live very long. As a young man, Abel committed his life to God. He determined that he was going to serve God by faith. When it was time to offer the sacrifice, by faith, he offered what God said. And God accepted it and blessed him. By faith. I mentioned last Sunday how some teach that we're saved by other means than by faith. I'm going to repeat it. There's no other way to heaven but by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. Not of works, lest any man should boast. A man can give his money, a man can labor, a man can use his talents, whatever he will, but it'll never save him. We're saved by grace through faith. Thank God. Joining the church, being baptized in water, shaking the preacher's hand, all of those things might be good, but they'll never get anyone to heaven. One great truth is, by grace are you saved through faith. not of works. Through faith alone, righteousness, and then I'll leave this with you as I hurry along. I want you to go back with me. I want you to go all the way back in history. Adam, the first man, created some 6,000 years ago. We have the history. We have the history in the Bible. Right on through from Adam all the way through to Jesus. The generations, they're all there. We can go all the way back to Adam this morning and find out that every believer, everyone that served God, everyone that was a child of God, served God by faith. Their righteousness was imputed to them by faith. Their salvation came to them by faith. Everyone of the Old Testament that served God, they served Him and loved Him by faith. I'm not going to try to quote it. It says that Abel, by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith. Noah, by faith, built the ark to the saving of his household. Abraham looked for a city whose builder to make his God by faith. Sarah gave birth to a child when she was 90 years of age, past childbearing age, by faith. Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, all by faith served God. Then you come to Moses. By faith, he chose to identify with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. All by faith. And everyone in this congregation this morning that's saved, you got saved by faith. And if anyone is here not saved, if you will get saved even today, it will be by faith. Faith that Jesus died for you. Faith that Jesus took your place on Calvary. Let me leave this with you. I've said it so many times. If I was the only person in the world that needed salvation, He would have died for me. He loved me that much. He would have taken my place that I might have life. Thank God, thank God. Yes, man is sinful. Yes, there's a brevity of life in mankind. We live to be 75, 80, maybe 85, or somewhere along that. Maybe some not that much, and some others another direction. But we find that faith. All of salvation is by faith. And Abel teaches us that. Abel's message shares that with us. That's part of his message. And finally, this morning, let me say this today, the story in today's scripture reading, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. And by it being dead, he speaketh. Think about it, if you will. God had his testimony. The testimony of Abel placed in the Holy Scriptures that were put together by some 40 writers over a period of 1,600 years. God had the testimony of Abel put here that you and I might be blessed. How does it bless me, Brother Jones? It blesses me by knowing that I was a sinful man. I needed help. The only help that I could receive, my life is short. And the only help that I could receive was from faith in God. I don't know about everyone else here today, but I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised by parents that were Pentecostal holiness. When I was born, both of them, members of the Pentecostal Holiness Church and teaching Sunday school classes. Most all of my life while I was growing up at home, I left home after I graduated from high school and went in the military. While I was growing up, my dad was an official in the church. He was a deacon, or the second, or the treasurer of the church. He was a trustee. My mother was a woman's auxiliary president for a while. She was the youth director for a while. My mother was the pianist in the church. My dad was part of the time, was a song leader. My parents were active in the church. We grew up with that type of church love for the church. My mother cleaned the church for years on 25th Street, and we drove all the way from Fox Hill, Virginia, to New Panews on a Saturday to clean the church. That's before churches paid anyone to clean the church. And my mother oftentimes would have me to ride with her. Help clean the church. I grew up that way. And I've told you this before, but I'm going to repeat it. My wife and I got saved on a Sunday night in Idaho, 1967. 1955. That night after church, we went home, got our checkbook out, and wrote our check for tithe. We started tithing on the first day we got saved. Took it back to the church, and the church was closed, so we took it over to the parsonage. And paid tithes ever since. And God's blessed us, and blessed us, and blessed us, and blessed us. You can never go wrong by doing right. And you'll never be blessed like you ought to be blessed, and God wants you to be blessed until you obey God. Somebody said, Brother Jones, I don't make enough money. If you don't make enough money, you need to pay tithes so you can make some more. So that God can help you. Now that's good preaching. We don't need the money in the church. God blesses us abundantly. But you need God. But I say in all of that about my wife and I, how that God's been so good, how He's blessed us, and we found out, after we got saved, we found out that the pastor was cleaning the church. Now, the pastor's not above cleaning the church. But when they had several young couples in the church, somebody's failing God. And my wife and I decided we'll clean the church. Won't tell anyone. So we drove to the church. That's in the days when you didn't even lock the churches. We went to the church, and the pastor lived in the parsonage next door, and he came out on a Saturday afternoon to clean the church, and he saw our car there. He thought maybe that we came to pray. We came because there was a need in our lives. And so he stayed at home, and he kept on watching until our car left. So he finally went over to the church to clean the church, and we cleaned it already. He couldn't hardly believe it. Somebody come and clean the church. And I'm not saying this to boast. I'm saying the Bible says, whatsoever your hands find to do, do it. I think sometimes we have a hard time letting our hands find. It's true. God, you've been good to us. I don't have any complaints today. None whatsoever. Man is sinful. We don't get to live very long on this earth. And salvation is by faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But what is the last message that Abel is telling to us? He's saying, in that verse, Abel by faith offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, and by being dead yet speaketh. I believe that Abel is telling us that when you die, your influence lives on. Beyond the grave, when they put you and me in the grave, if the Lord tarries, your influence for good or for bad will live on. Abel was privileged to live a short time only on this earth. 6,000 years have come and gone, and isn't it amazing? I'm talking about a man that's still talking. Been dead for 6,000 years, but he just speaketh. Who's he speaking to? He's speaking to me. He said, Glenn, if you'll just serve God, it's going to pay off. If you live for God, there's going to be dividends. If you live for God, there's going to be an eternity with the Lord. Amen, amen. I'm not living for this life alone. I'm living for eternity. I'm going to close in a moment, but I hope that you'll understand what I'm saying right now. Now, God's blessed us. We're not wealthy. We've got all we need. And we've had all we need ever since we got saved. And sometimes when we got saved, right after we got saved, we didn't have a dollar in savings. There were plenty of times we had no insurance. After I got out of service, I didn't have any hospitalization insurance. Then when I left the post office and went full-time in the ministry, I didn't have any hospital insurance. I didn't have any until we came back to Virginia. I didn't have any the first 2 or 3 years here, any hospital insurance. And in the midst of it all, God's taking care of us. Brother, He's a good God. One son with a brain tumor, another son with a blood condition. I didn't really say another son, but don't have it, too. One of the sons that had already had a condition or something else, couldn't understand what it was, and yet God came on the scene. God's been good to us, folks. He's met every need of our lives. We are well off today. Mark it down. Brother and Sister Jones are well off today. We're getting on up in years, but we're well off because our names are inscribed in the book. We're living by faith. We're serving a living God that loves us and keeps us, supplies every need of our lives. What a Savior. What a mighty God. yet speaketh. When it's all said and done, if the Lord tarries and they lay you away in the grave, what will be the message that you will have left behind? Yet speaking. What will your influence be like? Will it be for good or for bad? That is the question this morning. My wife has come to the piano. Abel, by faith, offered a more excellent sacrifice. By faith, my wife and I walked down an aisle together one Sunday night and got saved. By faith, we believe what the Bible said. I've never seen the Lord. I've never been to heaven. But I know He's real. And I know heaven's real. And this morning, while she's playing the piano softly, and I'm going to close here. If you do not know this Lord, if you have not accepted Him by faith, you have no promise of tomorrow. You have no promise that you're going to live another day. When Mike called me Wednesday night about 1 or 1:30 in the morning, anytime my phone rings at that time, I know something. Somebody from the church or something. They had just received the word about the niece. No pulse. Rushed her to the hospital. They called from California for us to pray. I went to pray. Left the bedroom and went to pray. You might say, well, Brother Jones, you prayed, you must not have gotten through to heaven. Yes, I prayed and God heard. God hears when you pray. Well, I leave this with you today. Serve Him with all of your heart so that when the time comes, your influence will live on for good. Your influence. As long as you live, you have an influence, and when you die, that influence is going to live on. What will it be? If you're unsaved today, this is the best place that I know of to get saved. Will you stand together with me? Thank God.